Just go solo.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
It might be in your closet right now. It's your luggage, and it has no clue that it is a source of travel stress for you. Hello, everyone. I'm producer Catherine, and on this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going to talk packing for the solo traveler. Regular listeners have heard about Astrid's packing list, which we'll talk about in just a bit. But before that, let's hear some practical how-tos. And first, Astrid, is packing really an issue for people, and why is it such a big deal?
Catherine, I get so many questions about what to bring, what to pack, problems with packing. I must say that packing is in the top 3 to 4 stressors of solo travel. So I must say, yes, packing is really a challenge. And it's a challenge for most people, to include me, okay? I've thought about why packing is so stressful a lot, because even though I've traveled for over 35 years solo, I still have challenges. I developed the packing list. I try to have my own systems, etc. But I must say, I have to really focus when I get ready to pack for a trip. But I think the bottom line is that packing, if you approach packing with an emotional point of view, then you're going to get on the wrong track. You really have to think logic and how to pack smart. And when I talk about emotions, you'll think, oh, well, I think I'm going to wear this, or, you know, I want to look this way or whatever. And yes, that's all part of it. But don't get emotional about, well, I want to wear these shoes. And if I decide I don't want to wear those shoes, I want to have the other shoes. And you get all confused.
Do you mean you're kind of like people start telling them a story about, like, not only the clothes they're going to wear, but it's like they start tapping into, like, what their travel experience is going to be like?
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know exactly how to pinpoint why you start getting emotional, but that is when you get off track.
Yeah.
So the program today really is going to be geared to keeping you focused and realizing when you're not focused, and then giving you some good tips. So what your goal is to pack smart, okay? So that's at the root of it. I think, you know, emotions versus logic. Now, some of the reasons why I think it's so stressful is, first of all, people just get confused, or they're uncertain about what is appropriate to wear wherever they're going. And we'll talk about, you know, how to solve those issues and how to figure out really what you should wear later on in the show. But that's one of them. They're just confused. They don't know what really to bring. Mm. So that can cause some big problems, and, you know, it can cause overpacking problems, to tell you the truth, which is the next thing. That's the next stressor. When you just overpack, you bring too many shoes, too many tops, too many pairs of jeans, too much extra makeup, heavy toiletries, just overpacking. Do not do that. That is the beginning of being stressed out when you leave and when you're in transit. And a overpacked suitcase is really not smart. The next one is to pack too much with the what-if situation. What if it gets really cold? Or what if this happens, or I decide to do this? Don't get too much into that. You can try to be prepared, but don't overdo it. Because whatever you don't have that you need, always remember, you can buy it if you have to have it. And I must say, sometimes I will be gone, and it'll be really hot where I am. And then the last day, there'll be a cold snap. I didn't need a jacket, or not a jacket, but a little heavier than a jacket, a puffer jacket, or something really has some warmth to it. I mean, I'll go buy another one if I have to have it. You just, you know, that's part of travel, to tell you the truth. Then the other thing that is a big stressor is basically just being disorganized. If you're disorganized and you don't have a plan and you don't know what you should bring and you have a way to decide what you should not bring, that completely can stress you out, just being disorganized. And typically people who are disorganized when they pack, they have disorganized suitcases. And when you disorganize, typically you get stressed out because you've either forgotten something or you've misplaced it, whatever. So those are the main stressors, I'd say, when it comes to packing, the overall stressors. So the bottom line is to rein in your emotions, think logically, and think smart packing rules or techniques, of which I'll share with you later on some of mine.
Oh, we're going to get into them for sure. Let's start with the packing list. Of course, we are going to tell you how to get Astrid's packing list. But first, Astrid, tell us, what is in it?
Okay, before I get into that, I want to preface that my focus is affordable luxury ideas for solo travelers. And my packing list is geared to that type of travel. It can be adventure travel. It can be travel that's really more entertainment or evening oriented, or just basic sightseeing travel, etc. So my list here again is geared to the affordable luxury traveler, and that is different than, say, a backpacker, their travel list. There's some similar things on it, but the philosophy behind it is a little bit different, and what you bring is a little bit different. So I want to preface the list with that statement. Now, it's organized in different categories. You've got your basic essential clothes, like your underwear and your night attire, anything that basically you wear under your clothes, okay? Then I have a section on casual wear. It's jeans, pants, shorts, cotton tops. I like a lot of three-quarter length tops with boat necks. They seem to work really good. Shells. You've got skirts. You can even have like your maxi dress or just a casual dress. So there's a whole list of, you know, or there's a category for casual clothes. Then I have a category for dressy clothes. And, you know, I list whether you should bring one or two dressy blouses or just one dressy blouse that you could put over, say, you know, your plain black pants and dress it up with, you know, a nice accessory or a pretty scarf or whatever. But so I have a category for dressy types of items. Then the next category is the shoes. And oh my God, the shoes can be a big problem for a lot of people. And I must say that I'm one of them because I love shoes. But I have a whole list of all the different kinds of shoes that you should consider bringing. But we'll talk about really how many shoes you should bring later on. But so I have a shoe category. Then I have a category for accessories, whether it's pashminas or wraps or scarves or jewelry, and inexpensive jewelry. Don't ever bring any real expensive jewelry when you travel solo. But I have that category so you can think about, you know, do I want to bring a pashmina or two, or, you know, do I actually need more of a wrap, etc. So, and then we have outerwear, which deals with coats and jackets and vests and, you know, basically raincoats too, if you want to bring an all-weather coat. Then there's a section on travel items, which this includes also your tech items, whether it's your adapter, your iPad, your computer, your camera, your iPhone, the cords, the extra battery packs, everything. And also in this section, you've got items like your passport, your visa, your credit cards, everything that you need to travel, and also in the tech area. So you can decide which ones you want to take, which ones are essential, and which ones maybe you don't want to take. Okay? And then the last one is just a miscellaneous section, and that's, I've got things like sunglasses, ponchos, mini umbrellas, you know, things that, and hats, things that maybe you might not have to bring, but things that you really ought to think about bringing. I always bring a very lightweight rain poncho that I have in a little envelope. It's great. I can put it in my backpack or my tote. And, you know, sometimes I'll even add the mini umbrella. It just depends on what the weather is that day, whether I take it or not. But I love that poncho because you can wear all kinds of heavy clothes under it and then just slip that lightweight poncho over you. And that'll be enough to get you through or get you into somewhere inside so you can get out of the rain.
And I know, Astrid, that you have a video about totes versus backpacks that is on your video series. And we'll go ahead and we'll put a little link into the show notes so people can watch that too to get you a little bit more in depth on those things.
Oh, yeah. I love totes and backpacks. Some people love totes, some people love backpacks. And I go into basically why I like certain ones versus the other. I don't want to completely divulge that information.
Just watch the video.
watch the video.
Good teaser, Astrid.
Yeah, but it gives you a lot of different looks and a lot of different things to think about when you're considering buying a backpack or a tote and what's a good one and what's not a good one. So that's the biggest value of, I think, the video.
And then also going back to the rain gear, I'm so impressed with how you can, the rain gear is getting more and more compact, where you can buy more and more items that look more and more stylish that fold up and can be these very small compact little zipper pouches so you can discreetly carry with you all the time something to go with the rain.
Absolutely. I remember I was in Los Angeles, California one year. I was visiting my son who is an actor, and I didn't bring the poncho. And I thought, well, my God, it never rains in California.
But being from Louisiana, you brought it on with you, I think.
No, I didn't bring it because of California. So here it starts raining, and it wasn't too bad the first day, but after the first day, it continued to rain. So I just happened to go across the street in the drugstore, which he lived in Hollywood, and I'm telling you, they've got this fabulous drugstore. I think it's on Sunset and Vine that just has everything in it. Well, there was a little a Parker-like raincoat that was to the knee, very lightweight, black with small polka dots.
Cute.
Real cute. I think it was like $20 in the zip pouch. I bought it, and it took me through the rainy days in California. But, you know, if you bring one of those, that's really smart. Because like I said, you can put it in your tote, your backpack, and, you know, it might not be raining when you leave in the morning, but it could rain, you know, in the middle of the day, and you don't want to be caught without it. That's one of those things that is in the miscellaneous section that I think you ought to think about bringing, and you might not need it. So, like I said, each section is broken down into specific items. The shoes are like boots, pumps, sandals, walking shoes or trainers, flats, and always flip-flops. I mean, I love shoes so much, and I have all kinds of different shoes. But I always, if I don't bring some flip-flops, I always end up buying a pair of flip-flops, especially if I'm gone for an extended period of time, because what I find is my feet, oh my God, flip-flops just are so comfortable walking. And, you know, if you're in a place where you can wear them, and, you know, really, they're pretty accepted now everywhere in the world. So I bring the flip-flops because I wear them in the room. If I have to, you know, feel like I'm going to wear them in the shower, you know, which is rare, I will. But I also, if my feet are just really tired of walking in the walkers or the trainers, I'll go out with flip-flops if it's not too cold. So the list, I think, is extremely comprehensive. And your challenge is to figure out what you really feel like you need, what's essential, and then what not to bring. So it's good. It's a good starting place for you to hone in on that.
What are the main things you want people to know to successfully pack as a solo traveler? And what, in your view, is a successful packing job?
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to some basic philosophies. So successfully pack for a trip, I think you need to adhere to a couple of what I call smart packing philosophies. Basically, here again, packing logic. The first philosophy you need to always keep in your mind is less is more. And I kind of gravitated to this through trial and error, to tell you the truth. And I use this because it's really rooted in the French and the way that they dress. They feel like somebody who's well-dressed, dressed simply, basic, and tasteful and well-fitting clothes. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be very casual. But your clothes need to be just basic, good clothes, not super expensive, and well-fitted, classic looking. So that I kind of think like that just in general when I get ready to pack. My tops are usually white, beige, and just simple. And if I want to put a little bit more pizzazz in what I'm wearing, I'll do it with accessories. Along those lines, you know, when you're getting ready to pack, you need to decide your base color. Is your base color going to be black, navy, or brown? Whatever you basically wear all the time. I love black. I have so many black dresses and tops, and in fact, I'm wearing one today.
I was just going to say, listeners, you can imagine Astrid wearing black, all black right now.
But it always looks good. And even I recently went to a travel conference, and this girl who now is in the Guinness Book of Records, she is the first person to go to every country in the world in a certain amount of days. And she talked about basically what she packed. And her basic outfit was a pair of leggings and a black sleeveless top. She wore that everywhere she went until it got cold. When it got cold, she wore a black long sleeve top. When it got too cold, then she had a black puffer jacket. So she just went all black. Decide on what your base color is, okay? And I love black. I think it goes very well with any kind of accent color you put on, okay? And it doesn't show dirt, is easy, etc. Then you have to decide on what your secondary color is. Do you want it to be white, beige, gray, taupe? Usually I either gravitate to the white or the beige because it just looks better on me. But from there, you can really start adding maybe another little accent, a color on top of that. But those, that base color and then your secondary color, you should think that way. And if that's the only things that you pack are those two colors, it's going to be okay, okay? With that said, then staying with that French concept of dressing and always looking good, no matter where you are. And here again, it's not to be she or fancy or anything. It's just dressing well, okay? The French always believe you should have some kind of jacket, whether it's a bomber jacket or a blazer or some kind of jacket that you can wear if the weather gets a little chilly or whatever, but you always look put together with a jacket. Then here again, the light top or tops. I like boat necks. Some people, basically like shirts or whatever, but say a off-white or a beige or say a taupe shirt with a black blazer. And then, some khaki pants or whatever. It all looks good. Maybe not the taupe, but the white or the off-white looks real nice. Pants, one or two pair of pants and one pair of jeans. I know that sounds very minimalistic, but I can tell you, it will get you through very easily a 10-day trip. You know, if you bring, you know, like I always say, three pairs of pants or three bottoms and three tops gives you nine outfits. So then your little black dress or some dress that you could actually wear during the day, or you could dress it up at night. But a little black dress is always right. And then if you need your jacket or whatever, you can put that over. Or if you have a pashmina, you can do so much with the little black dress. And then your shoes. You really ought to think, unless you're going for a long time, and then that is even not smart. But sometimes when you go for a long time, your feet get too used to certain shoes, and that can be a problem because your back will start hurting, etc., if you walk a lot every day. But typically, don't bring more than three pairs of shoes. And then your flip-flops. But flats, a pair of pumps, or some dressy shoes, could be wedges, and your walkers. And when I talk about walkers, you know, I know people like all the fancy Nikes and everything, and that's all good, but I can tell you, it's better if you're a solo traveler if you stick to black walkers or a solid color. Even white is okay if they have a sleek cut and they just don't look real like they're super athletic shoes.
Okay. Clunky and obvious.
Yes,
yeah.
Because you'll stick out like a tourist. And what you want to try to do as a solo traveler is to blend in. Or maybe if you don't totally blend in into the culture, you're dressed nice enough that you don't look like you're, a target. And that's important. And then last or next is accessories. Here again, I love accessories because I usually just bring black and white or black and cream, and then maybe one or two tops that have maybe a little color in them with white and black. But the accessories, oh, that's what I decide. Oh, well, I want to wear this pashmina today, and I think it looks so nice, and I feel nice in it. So, you know, two or three pashminas, that's great, and it'll change your look. That's what I'm saying. And then the last, the tote, or you have to decide whether you want to bring a tote or a backpack. And I always suggest some kind of crossbody purse. And usually I try to bring a crossbody purse that's a little bit on the dressier side, because I'll use that at night, or I'll take the chain off. I have a couple with chains on it that I love, that I can wear it chain during the day if I want to use it. But at night, if that's not quite the look that I want, I can take the chain off, and it's a nice envelope purse or whatever.
I have a question about shoes, to just go back a little bit. I've heard of people, and maybe at one time I made this same rookie mistake of getting shoes that I'm taking to travel and I haven't worn them really before I go on my trip. Do you have any thoughts about like breaking your shoes in? Because if you're doing so much walking when you're traveling, like a brand new pair of shoes can be a nightmare.
Oh, tell me about it. That's one of my tips, is bring clothes that you're comfortable in and basically that you've already worn. Don't go out and buy a whole lot of new clothes. Now, sometimes you can, because you want to. That's part of how you want to experience the trip. But I can tell you, with the shoes, that can be a killer. And once you get blisters or once your feet really start being a problem, that is a trip stressor. It really is. Then, you know, you'll have to get Band-Aids, and they don't really feel right, and you'll go to your flip-flops.
Yeah.
You'll have to, yeah.
That's what
will happen. But yes, you're absolutely right.
And I like what you're saying, too, about the clothes that you're already wearing, because I think sometimes people, too, and this maybe was tying into the, like the emotional or the fantasy element, is that they have this idea about, like, my exotic trip, and so they buy something, an article of clothing that they never would wear, but it's for the trip. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? Am I making sense here?
Oh yeah, no, and that's all right. Every now and then, like say if you're gonna go on a cruise, or there's, you know, some special activities, and maybe you're meeting some people there. That's okay. But really, when you're traveling and solo travel, it's about what you're doing in the day. Mm. It's about the travel. It's not about what you're wearing. Really, what you're wearing needs to be smart in terms of it's appropriate for the culture, it's appropriate for the weather, and you're comfortable in it. So buying new clothes, a lot of times, you don't really know if you're going to be comfortable in it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And you might like it before you leave and think it looks great, and then when you get there, you don't quite look right because that's not what everybody else is wearing, and it was either too stylish or there's something that's kind of off kilter. So here again, I'm saying think basic, good dressing strategy.
The classics, a classic look.
Yeah, and then you can add from there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Add a skirt, maybe a maxi dress, a tunic.
Yeah.
Tunics are real nice now because you can kind of layer with them, too. You can have your shell underneath or even a lightweight turtleneck and put the tunic over it. And I like tunics a lot. So then the next smart packing philosophy is just KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And I mean, you got to tell yourself that over and over. Less is more and keep it simple. Because people here again worry too much about what they should wear or what they bring. Don't worry about it. It is about the travel. It is about the trip. It's about what you're going to be doing. And you're not going to really be thinking about, oh, well, I want to look this way or that way that much. Okay, some people are more style conscious, but I can tell you, the more that I have traveled through the years, even the most well-traveled people who can dress wherever they want to, I mean, you know, money really, it doesn't matter. They are dressing much more simply now, too. And it's just a matter of comfort, and it's the way people are now. So, you know, that just keep it simple, okay? Also, with that thought is, here again, you want to look appropriate for the culture that you're in. That's very, very important. You know, when you go to Western Europe and obviously the United States, Australia, you can get away with things that are basically more trendy, more skimpy, the colors are louder. You can get away with that. I still don't think it's smart to do it, but you can get away with it. If you go to other cultures, say in the Middle East or the Near East, they're a little bit more trendy, maybe at, you know, in the bigger cities. But still, as a solo traveler, you need to tone it down. That's what I'm saying. And also, of course, you need to be prepared for the weather because some climates are very humid and very hot. And you think a 3/4 length shirt will be okay, or even a sleeveless shirt. It needs to be a nice sleeveless shirt with the right kind of fabric, because even a sleeveless shirt with not the right kind of fabric, I'm telling you, you're going to head somewhere to buy a couple of shells because you could just be sweating profusely.
You're like cooking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It happened to me in Singapore. And the second day I went to the concierge, I said, look, I don't want to spend a lot of money. Where is one of the real big markets where you can buy some good, very lightweight cotton shirts so I can be cool? And he told me, and I think I bought 5 shirts for like $30. It was a big market. And it was fun to shop there. I like flea markets. But, okay, so that's important. You know, when you're thinking about what you should take and everything, by keeping it simple, it's got to be appropriate, though, for the culture and the weather. And if you dress simply, you're going to blend in. A successful smart packing job is basically threefold. First of all, you pack just enough or just what you need for your trip, for the things that you're going to be doing, okay? Secondly, you need to pack to where you can maneuver your suitcase well. If you're overpacking, it's too heavy, that'll give you a lot of stress. And then at the end of the trip when you bought things and you're sitting on your suitcase and you're trying to zip the zipper, I've done it. Let me tell you, I'm
leaping on top of it, yeah.
Yes, and then you're going, oh my God, I don't know how this, and I can't throw this away or that away. Or, you know, it's just, it's really so, you know, you've got to be able to handle your own bags. We don't have porters like we used to all over the world. And you need to be able to do it. Even when you go into the aircraft, you're in business class, and you're putting it up in the bins. I mean, of course, the flight attendants will help you. But it's always better if you can do it yourself. Come on. You know, so that I think it's important for that. So you can manage your luggage all by yourself at all times. And then the third thing is, making sure you haven't forgotten anything that's critical, because that can totally stress you out and mess your trip up. So you can leave your passport. I mean, I can tell you, if you don't look at the list and follow a list, you can forget something that's important. So passport, hotel reservation, the e-tickets, airline tickets aren't as dangerous anymore, because if your name is in the register, they know you're coming, so you can get by without the e-ticket. But your meds, adapters, here again, good walking shoes that you love and that you know are going to do the trick, PJs, etc. So those are the three elements, I think, of a smart packing job, to stick within those concepts or those strategies. But let's talk about common packing problems. And I'm going to go over some of them again that I've mentioned, but I want you to really think like this. So when you get ready to pack for a trip, think, am I overpacking? You know, do I really need this? Am I forgetting something critical? Check and recheck. Is this appropriate attire, or am I bringing inappropriate attire just because I like it and want to wear it? Do my clothes fit well? Are the shoes good? Ill-fitting clothes are also a real stressor and a downer, okay? Heavy clothes. Think about the weight of the clothes, because if you have heavy fabrics, your suitcase is going to end up so heavy. And there are a lot of great new fabrics now that are lightweight and they can give you warmth, especially with your layering. So think lightweight fabrics, lightweight shoes. Even your trainers and your boots can be lighter than other types. So think lightweight, you know, don't bring heavy clothes. Clothes that are that don't wrinkle easy. Oh, wrinkle-free fabrics, a must. Because you don't have to worry about ironing something when, you know, in the morning, or sending something to the cleaners, etc. Really try to pack everything in your suitcase that, or whatever you bring, has wrinkle-free fabrics. That is really important. And they make great things now. They even make cotton shirts that don't wrinkle.
Yeah, you just hang them up and they go nice. Yeah,
yeah, it's super. Okay, bad luggage. Luggage that's too big, too heavy. Luggage that do not have the spinner wheels. The spinner wheels, I think, are one of the greatest inventions. If I'm on a long trip, I usually have to bring two bags that I pack, because I have a camera and a lot of different things, because I blog and take a lot of pictures and I'm doing a lot of different things. But I have a great set of very lightweight suitcases with the spinners. And I can have one in one hand, one in the other. I put my tote over one of them, and I can walk through one airport section to another, up the escalator, all this, you know, down ramps, etc. It's very easy to maneuver. If you're dragging the suitcase with the wheels that don't, or that don't have the 360 spinner wheels on them, I can tell you it is a pain, because you'll be pushing one in front of you, one behind you, then you have to get on the escalator, and they're just so much harder to maneuver. So bad luggage is another common packing problem. And here again, too, you want to try to take the few amount of pieces that you can, because the less luggage you have, it just makes it, the trip a lot better. I mean, I love to see these ladies who are walking in the airport. They have one bag and their tote on top, and they're just, you know, very mobile, and they have it together, okay? Also, disorganization, here again, is another common packing problem. You know, where's my passport? Where's my debit card? I mean, when you're packing, you have to kind of think like, I'm going to always put my passport in this pouch, zip it up in this tote or this purse. So you always know exactly where your passport is, okay? Same thing with your credit cards and your debit cards. Where am I going to put it that's going to be safe, that I can readily find it, that when I use it, I think about, I have to put it back in this place, so I'm less likely to leave it anywhere, and I always know where it is. So, you know, think organized, because if you get too disorganized, you just throw it in your tote or your backpack, I can guarantee you, when you're trying to find it, you could can't find it, and then you, that panic will set in, and then you'll go, oh, I lost my credit card, I lost my debit card, oh my gosh, you know. So don't be disorganized.
You're building a little routine for your items, those top key items.
Oh yeah, because those habits will save you a lot of times, because, you know, sometimes you get absent-minded. If you've just been to a museum and then you went to a cafe and now you're getting ready to go to another thing, you can get lost in all of this stuff and you accidentally left your credit card at the cafe in the you know, where you signed the receipt. I mean, you took your copy of the receipt, but you just accidentally left the credit card in the little envelope thing. And that happens a lot. You know what I'm saying? But if you have these habits that you constantly do, it will save you many times. Not 100%, but, you know, 99, or maybe not 99, but 96%. Things do go wrong. Okay, and then forgetting to put your essentials or your valuables in your carry-on. That's real important. Mm. Don't put your tech stuff in your suitcase to be checked in and put in the cargo hold. Unfortunately, I've had an iPad stolen. I mean, it happens. So your Kindle, your iPad, if you're bringing any tech gear, even your camera. That's why sometimes I have to bring a small suitcase that's a carry-on when I'm bringing my big camera, because it can happen, especially if you're traveling internationally in different parts of the world. They don't have the same kind of security or the systems with the people that fool with your baggage. So that's a tip. And then also, you know, your luggage might not make it with you. And then if you, say, have some meds that you take every night or something that you really need to use that night and it's in your suitcase, well, you know, you didn't put it in your carry-on. So I always say, put your things that you can't lose, you don't want to lose, in your carry-on or your tote, and don't pack those. So, how do solo travelers bounce back from something packing related gone wrong? Number one, if you're overweight, say in the middle of your trip, you've made two stops, or you've overpacked, go to the concierge and send some stuff home. You know, don't be miserable. Don't, you know, keep it keeps, you know, just cramming that suitcase full. So send things home. Secondly, if you don't have what you need, you can always buy it. Don't worry about that. You know, I've forgotten hair dryers before. I have an adapter, or I have a couple of hair dryers now that, you know, will go either in the Far East or in Europe. And if I forget them, and there's not one in the hotel, and I need one because I have long hair, I will go to the drugstore and buy another hair dryer. You know, I know that sounds ridiculous, but they're cheap. So you can pretty much get anything that's affordable that, you know, that you need, okay? Then, if you lose something that's essential, you got to prepare for that. And what I'm talking about is making copies of your essential documents, like your passport, your visa, your hotel reservations, e-tickets. You know, e-tickets are not quite as important, but they still are, because there might have been something wrong, or somebody let somebody on the plane.
It's not a big deal to have, just in case.
Yeah, but make copies of all that. Then make copies of your credit cards front and back and your debit card. You put those together, you know, carry that second set in your tote. And then when you get to the hotel room, put it in the safety deposit box. So if something happens to your purse, your wallet, your credit cards, your passport, you have that information there. And I can tell you, that is a wonderful feeling. I have never had to do it except for a credit card or two every now and then. I had a credit card that was actually compromised, and so I had to do it then. But if you have it, if something goes wrong, you can keep on going. And the credit cards companies, the major ones, are so great. They can get you overnight in Timbuktu a new credit card. And then also, in terms of your if you are on any kind of medications, make sure you bring a copy of your prescription and it's signed. And just keep that in your carry-on tote. And once you get to the hotel, put it in your safety deposit box. So I will basically just end this show with saying, you know, based on a song that I used to love so much, I think it was popular about 20 years ago, don't worry, be happy. Because if you're not emotional and you're not worried about this, that, and the other, whether, you know, you got the right things to wear, etc., and you think logically and you follow these smart packing rules, use the packing list, you'll be happy. You won't have to worry. So that's my show today.
We have touted it enough, the packing list. To get your complimentary copy, all you have to do is go to astridtravel.com. Right there on the front page is the place where you can download the packing list, the packing list, I should say, right away. Let it be your guide for your next travels. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher. We're now on Stitcher, that's right. And or on SoundCloud, or any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. We love to hear your feedback, so feel free to rate us, review us, and if you like what you're hearing, share this with a friend. We love to hear the words of Astrid's travel wisdom getting spread to all the people who are thinking about travel and really want to gain that confidence to do it themselves. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.